Father God, as we open your word once again, I thank you that we do have this access to your written word. That you have given us your very word. That you put into people's heart and have them put to paper and is now available for us. Lord, may we never take that for granted. May we continue to lift up those around the world who don't have access and do all we can to get it into their hands, to get it into their hearts. Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit to be evident in this place, teaching us through your word. That we may be a changed people, encouraged and emboldened, ready to go and say, ready to go and do, ready to go and make disciples. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to end up in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of John this morning. I'm going to read briefly the same prefacing scripture that I used last week from Isaiah 55. And then we'll go to the Gospel. But Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth, making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. And so we think of the waters coming down out of heaven, as we've seen so much of these last few days, and no matter what, the water comes and goes where it wishes when it comes. And it does water the seed. It causes the seed to grow. The seed grows and becomes something else. It talks about bread that is made from the wheat that comes from the seed. And God says, my word is like that. When my word comes out, it won't be without purpose. And so when we hear this word from the gospel this morning, Jesus' words, I want you to think his words coming out and the purpose that they are accomplishing, the purposes that they have accomplished throughout history, the words they are accomplishing in our church, the purpose they are accomplishing in our own hearts, because they will not go out and return empty. They are to accomplish God's purposes. Little context for this. We're going to pick up in John 12. I might have said Matthew a minute ago. I meant John 12. We're going to pick up at verse 20. But just to know, this has taken place just after his Palm Sunday triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And we know about that day as people have lined the streets and they put down their cloaks, and Jesus came riding in on the donkey as a king bringing peace. And they didn't. Not everyone understood what Jesus was stating with that. And so some had questions. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. And Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven, and I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, that voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. The crowd spoke up. We have heard from the law that the Christ will remain forever, so how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Excuse me. Then Jesus told them, you are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before the darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he is going. Put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons of light. Lord, give me voice. So Jesus is here having this discussion with these people, telling them how he's going to die, inferring how he's going to die, that he must die, and that he must be lifted up, and that all will be drawn unto him through his death. And this was confusing to them because they understood if he's saying he was the Christ, that the Christ was supposed to be eternal. They're thinking, of course, only in the flesh. And Jesus was talking, of course, in the spirit. And he said that unless a kernel falls into the ground and dies, and people will often refer to this as being Jesus speaking of himself when he dies, that he must die in order for this eternal life, in order for this salvation to take place. And it is true in part that Jesus was referring to himself. But he wasn't just referring to himself, because look at the verse that follows. If it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. So Jesus was talking about what was going to happen to him physically, but he was also talking what is to happen to us spiritually. We must follow him. How many times have we heard, how many places in Scripture does it say, I have been crucified with Christ? Or Jesus saying, one must, to be my disciple, must take up his cross and follow me. You give me a refill. Thank you. So Jesus was not just referring to what was going to take place with him, but what must take place indeed with all of us. We must be willing to die to self in order to live and in order to produce. We remember that sermon from 2 weeks ago that Jim Dorado gave us. Going and making disciples. Reproducing that which Jesus has produced in us. And that reproduction can only happen if we are willing to die to self. Likewise, when Jesus says, I must be lifted up, and I will draw all men to myself. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. And there's a lot of discussion, if you read commentaries and Bible studies, there's a lot of discussion about that word all. What did Jesus mean he was going to draw all to himself? In the original language, it doesn't say all people or all men, it just says all. We know that all aren't going to be saved. Even the people he was talking to here, Judas, fell away. I was praying about this morning and reading through notes, and people go all over the place. And one comment is that Jesus was saying all kinds of people. I've been with the Jews, but I'm going to be all kinds of people. Now he was talking to Greeks who had come to question him here. So he was saying all kinds of people. And I think there's truth to that. But as I was praying over that this morning, I was led to Philippians 2. And I refer to this verse a lot because it talks about a great day to come. It says, Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, and this is the interesting thing here, God exalted him to the highest place. That word that's exalted here is the same word that's used lifted up in the gospel. The same word to be physically lifted up also means to be raised up and to be exalted. So God is exalting him because of what he did, and therefore God gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every person who has ever lived, every person who will ever live, will be in front of Jesus and recognize him as Lord and Savior. What a glorious day it will be for people who in this life have accepted that already, and who will spend that moment in exaltation, who will spend that moment in glorious worship. We may be trembling at the sight of Christ, but it will be trembling with excitement for being taken into the family. And what a horrible, horrible day it will be for those who denied Christ up to and including their very last opportunity. And now they're seeing in horror their mistake. I think Jesus indeed will draw all to him. All people will come to him. Every knee bowing and every tongue confessing. And church, we have something to do with who is in which camp on that day. Yesterday morning, I was on my computer and had my phone there, and I texted Randy Chambers from the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, who had reached out for prayer the night before. He was talking to the football team at Wesley College on Friday night. So yesterday morning I said, how'd it go? I said, 14 people, 14 young men accepted Christ Friday night. Moments later, I got a message from Jim Dorado. By the way, those who are following him on his trip in India, his travel may be affected, but he should be safe from the impending weather that they're, cyclones that they're calling for India. He should be okay where he is. He's been asking for prayer, 10 messages in 3 days, celebrated his 81st birthday last week. I asked him, how did it go at your first service? He said, I gave an invitation. 40 people came and accepted Jesus Christ. Those 14 at Wesley College, those 40 in India, that day that every knee bows and every tongue confesses Christ, they'll be singing Christ's praises. Because someone was obedient to go and ask the question, do you know Jesus? Do you want to know him? How can they know unless they hear? How can they hear unless someone preaches? How can someone preach unless they're sent? We're sent. Jesus sent us. Jesus sent us. He said, go and make disciples. He is drawing people to Him. Can we get to them in time? Can we get to them in time? Can we get to them and tell them about the love of Jesus? I've heard two testimonies from folks recently and who unexpectedly felt the presence of the peace of God in their lives in very difficult circumstances. And they both said very similar things, that they don't have words to express exactly what it felt like. And they tried using language that, you know, is about things that we know about. One said it was like God opened a mailbag and she knew the number of people that were praying. Not the exact number, but there were a number of people praying for her in that circumstance. Like she knew it because people were telling her they were praying for her. But sometimes that happens, sometimes it doesn't. Hopefully it happens more often than it doesn't. But in this instant, she felt this incredible peace. And somehow, God revealed to her the reality of people interceding in the throne room of heaven for her. And it became real. We don't always have the exact right words. But if you just come and see, come and look. There's a God who loves you. There's a God who loves you so very much that He sent His Son to die for you. And I can't explain everything that is done in my life. I can't. There aren't words in English that give a great definition for it all, but it changed everything. It means everything. I would die for it, and it would be the best thing I ever did. It comes with great peace. It comes with great love. It's kind of like Jim said the other day, talking about a great meal at a restaurant. You know, you hear about it, but it doesn't mean anything until you go and try it. But if you go try it, then you know. Jesus is calling all people, drawing all people. The Holy Spirit of God is out working. Before we ever speak to anyone, God's Holy Spirit is working on hearts and minds and in circumstances. And we are blessed that God involves us in the process. And we're not blessed if we don't get involved in the process. God's pouring out blessings from the riches of the storehouses of heaven. What are we doing? Putting up an umbrella? Or grabbing it with all we have? Going and doing all that we can, saying all that we can, saving all that could be saved. Unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it. Hear that. If we love all the things about this world and hold on to all the things about this world, we are going to lose those things. Right? One of the oldest sayings there is, you can't do what? You can't take it with you. Well, the man who hates his life in this world, and again, let's be very careful of the words love and hate here. They have to do with not emotions, but with actions. what we're doing. So when it says hate, it's not that we have some disgust about this world, though there's a lot of things about this world to have that. But it's saying that we are acting not to absorb the world, to take all the world into us, but we're rejecting what the world has to offer in order to accept what Christ has to offer. And if we do that, we will keep it for eternity. Whoever serves me must follow me. So we must follow Jesus. Jesus is saying here, I am going to die. And he calls us to die spiritually and follow him. So it, nuts and bolts, what we're talking about here is being willing to give up those things that are attractive of this world in order to follow Jesus. Doesn't mean that we won't have good things in this world or things in this world that we like. It doesn't mean that you can't have a nice home or a nice car. It doesn't mean those things. It means, are you willing to walk away from whatever it is that Jesus is calling you away from? Whatever it might be. Sometimes it's material things. I think more often it's how we worry about how we appear to others. Are we willing to let that go? Are we willing to face the embarrassment of being one of those people? Are we willing to be called one of them? A guy asked me one time when I was still in the Air Force, he said, he goes, I know you go to church, are you a Christian or are you one of them born again Christians? Yes, and yes. There's. If you're not one, you're not the other. Yes. Born again. You see, when Jesus first mentioned this idea of being lifted up, was back in John 3. And I'd ask you to think about, just for a minute, what I talked to the kids when they were imagining someone talking to them. I want you to get the idea. This was a real man talking real words. And he was talking to this group of people here about being lifted up. But when he first mentioned it was in John 3. You know John 3. Everybody knows John 3, right? Because that takes us to John 3:16. But it starts off with Nicodemus and Jesus talking about being born again. And before we get to 16, we get to verse 9. Jesus is talking about being born again. Nicodemus says, how can this be? You're Israel's teacher, said Jesus. Do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. Jesus is saying, I'm going around with these people I've trained, these people that know the gospel. You guys should know what we're talking about because you've been studying this stuff your whole lives and still you don't get it. You don't accept what we're saying. I've spoken to you of earthly things you don't believe. How will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world. Maybe you know the story in Numbers 21, where the snakes were going out among the Israelite people and people were bitten and they were going to die. Moses cried out to God and God said, raise up a snake on a pole. They built a bronze snake. Whoever would come and look upon the snake would be saved. They'd be healed. There wasn't nothing about that bronze snake that was healing anybody. It was people being obedient and looking at the one who offered the healing, the one that offered the salvation. But this was pointing forward to Jesus. And Jesus is saying, just like those people who were nearly dead had to crawl on their stomachs to get to the place where they could just look up and see. But when they did, they received their life. may have had to crawl in agonizing pain near death to get to the place where they could look up and see that which would give them life. And Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, do you get it? Do you get it? God is offering you something, showing you something here that will give you life. You are dead in your sin. And here is the pathway to life. You're getting all caught up in this language about being born again. Yes, there's something real that happens there. Yes, there's regeneration. There's new things that take place. But you've got to shake off the old stuff. Just get over here where you can see me, Jesus is saying. Get over here where you can see me and receive that life. And then some time later, Jesus is now with this group of other people. And just like Nicodemus didn't get it, though he should have, he didn't get it. And Jesus, you know, talking to him, I think with great love and great compassion and great frustration, wanting so desperately for Nicodemus, his heart to get it, to understand it. And now, this time later, he's had all these people waving palms. We like this Jesus. He's going to be king. He's going to save us from the Romans. We like him. What's this stuff about being lifted up? What's this stuff about dying? What's this stuff about me dying? And Jesus is saying to a group of people the same thing. This is what must happen, and this is what you must do. Friends, we are living in a world, a lot of people like a Jesus that isn't that Jesus. You know, the great teacher, the philosopher, the one that wants to do stuff for us, but doesn't call us to do anything for him. Jesus is saying, still, take up your cross. Die to self. Get the best thing ever. Shake off this stuff. Let it go. Get the best thing ever. And then go out and give it away. And you'll have more of it. And give more of it away. And you'll have more of it. The world's hungry. We've got the food. How can they hear unless someone tells them? How can someone tell them unless they've been sent? But we've been sent. Let's go. Let's go tell people about Jesus. Whatever it is that's stopping you, quit it. Whatever's stopping you from telling somebody about Jesus, stop doing that. Compare that thing to Jesus and see which is better. Then throw the other thing away. Doesn't really matter what it is. Tell the world about Jesus. Amen.